All right. I would also like to acknowledge the folks that were actually supposed to be giving this presentation. Unfortunately, they could not join us. So Jackie Hawkins is the director of the community initiatives within the Mississippi Delta Health Collaborative, and Alice Griggs Miller is a special project officer, and DAX, the community, the Delta Alliance for Congregational Health. That is her program area. Okay. So same disclosure. This whole project was funded by CDC. Okay. All right, so let's talk about, so I'm going to go into a little bit more detail explaining the role of churches in cardiovascular disease risk reduction, and provide some more information about the Delta Alliance of Congregational Health model, DAX is easier to say, and maybe hopefully give you some ideas that you can take home with you and perhaps implement very similar programs. So again, let me give you some background information. Maya's already told you some of this, but just to reiterate, Mississippi has the highest rate of cardiovascular deaths in the country. The Delta is rural. It's 18 counties in the northwest region of the state, and the residents experience persistent poverty and much, much higher proportions of chronic diseases and related risk factors than other parts of Delta, the other parts of the Mississippi. In 2010, heart disease and stroke accounted for a little over 25% of deaths in the Mississippi Delta region, and strokes made up a little over 5% of deaths. You can also see that very large proportions, 38.6% of adults in the Mississippi Delta region reported having high blood pressure, 42.2% reported high cholesterol, which increases the risk for developing heart disease and stroke. And then the other thing that we want to drive home is that modifiable risk factors for cardiovascular disease, such as high blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, obesity, physical inactivity, smoking, are pervasive in the Mississippi Delta, more so than the rest of the state, and disproportionately affect African Americans. So, why churches? Well, it turns out that churches are ideal settings in which to conduct health promotion, and there's a number of reasons. First of all, churches have a mission of service and caring for others. And church leaders generally recognize and support the interrelationship between spirituality, mental, and physical health. In addition, churches tend to have the basic resources necessary to conduct health promotion, such as buildings with kitchens and meeting rooms, and a base of volunteers willing to be trained as leaders in health promotion activities. Churches also provide a convenient venue to recruit and retain study participants. And given that they tend to be stable institutions with members who attend frequently over many years, or at least that's the case in Mississippi. I don't know if y'all know this, but Mississippi is the buckle of the Bible Belt. Okay. Okay. And studies have described congregations as allies in the efforts to provide preventative health and social services to at-risk populations, and practical health promotion strategies in organizational settings. So really what began in 2009 as a community gardening initiative with a coalition of churches expanded to the Delta Alliance for Congregational Health. And again, the basis is this recognition that churches have both an obligation and the opportunity to minister not only to people's spiritual health but also to their physical health as well. And this is particularly true of African American churches. They've long been involved in social justice movements and community and engagement. So here's just One of the many churches involved, just to give you an idea, they have a community, you know, they have a garden and the screenings and some of the things that they do. So I'm going to go a little bit more detail. Okay, so to be a DAX church, what is involved, okay? Well, as we said, the goal of DAX is to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease by creating a system of churches that provide preventative screenings and counseling for diabetes, hypertension, cholesterol, smoking cessation, and appropriate aspirin therapy. Okay, and Maya talked a little bit about the ABCSs, so I won't go into that. So each church has to agree, if they don't already have a congregational health ministry, they have to agree to set one up. Okay, that's one of the requirements. And then each church identifies a member of the congregation, preferably a nurse, but it does not have to be, but one person who is willing to go through the congregational either health nurse training or advocacy training. And this is pretty rigorous training. I believe it's 32 hours of the nurse training. Is that right, Cassandra? And an additional 6 hours on top of that for the congregational health advocate. And so they're trained in how to conduct these health screening events. They also provide cardiovascular health education, both to the congregants and to the community at large. That's the other thing about DAX that's we think has a potential for great impact, is while they are focusing on the members of the congregation, these health screenings are typically open to the public, and anyone can attend. So the churches promote screening and healthy lifestyle changes. They do that through a number of ways: church announcements, bulletins, and the pastors are encouraged to incorporate health messages in his sermon. And another critical component of DAX, to be a DAX church, they're encouraged to establish policies. Now, the health department doesn't say which policy, they have their choice, but they're encouraged to either establish smoke-free environments, the availability of healthy food options and menu modifications at church functions, and they're also encouraged to implement policies and programs related to physical activity and exercise programs. Okay. All right. So let me just say that, let me tell you a little bit about what is a congregational health ministry. Well, this is an organized team of congregants who operate under the direction of a coordinator. Often this is, you know, the nurse, but it could be someone else. And they serve as kind of the umbrella operation and sponsor these regular educational events and other activities. And there was a survey done by the National Council of Churches of Christ. They surveyed over 6,000 congregations and found that 93% of their respondents reported that their congregations offer at least one of the following health ministry programs. So health education, direct provision of health services with health screening the most common, advocacy for public policies related to health care. So over 65 churches over the past 5 years, over 65 churches had at least one person trained as a congregational health nurse or advocate. And like I said, these churches also implemented a number of strategies. For example, I'll just give you one example. Sacred Heart Church, it's a Catholic church, established a shared use agreement. Do y'all know what a shared use agreement is? I see some heads. Okay. That's where you use public facilities to let community members engage in particular physical activity. So they developed a joint use agreement with Boyd and O'Bannon Elementary Schools to provide line dance and fitness classes one day a week at each facility. So also to kind of set the context, I probably should have said this, there's not any health clubs in the Mississippi Delta. I don't even think there's a YMCA. But I mean, we a lot of times, even when you live in small communities, a lot of times you think, well, there's a place you can go and exercise, but there's just not these kinds of resources in the Mississippi Delta. So with churches opening up their facilities for the community and establishing these agreements with schools and community centers to promote physical activity, that's an important thing. So you can see, this is just the number of churches over the five-year period. They started off with 12. You'll notice the numbers don't exactly add up, and the reason is because, unfortunately, we had churches drop out. So as well, each year we had new churches joining, and then some years we had other churches dropping out for various reasons. So I think right now we have about 25 or 26 active churches. And you can also see that some of these churches received funding from the health department. Now let me explain, this funding was minimal. We're talking about a couple of $1,000s. They did sponsor the training of the congregational health nurse and advocate, so the churches didn't have to pay for the training. But in addition, they provided some money to buy the health screening supplies, the equipment to check blood pressure, check for diabetes and cholesterol. And I believe they provided a very small, we're talking about very small stipend to the coordinator to kind of help compensate them for their time. So this is not a very expensive community-based intervention. Okay. So screening is one of the most important aspects of the program, and you know we've heard from community from the health ministry teams and from the congregational health nurses that for a lot of folks who again have limited access to health care and do not have insurance, coming to these screening events may be the only place that they're going to be able to get their blood pressure checked or their cholesterol checked. So it sets up a process in which the churches conduct these screenings, the ABC screenings and blood pressure screenings. The goal is to do it on a quarterly basis. And then if the screening results in abnormal values, then the participants are referred to primary care physicians or a local medical provider for those that don't have a medical home. And then some individuals are followed up by these community health workers for education and other social services. Okay, so over the past 5 years, almost 9,000 people were screened, either the ABC screening or the blood pressure for cardiovascular risk factors. You might imagine these are churches, so the majority were female and almost all African American. You can see that almost half have incomes below $20,000, so basically around poverty level. And most of the people that took advantage, well, about half of the people that took advantage of the screenings were between the ages of 45 and 64, followed by 25 to 44. So that's the population. Okay, so let me just give you some, what they found, what the screening found. As you can see, only 15% were in the normal weight range. So I believe Mississippi's still number one in the country for obesity. Is that right? Yeah.
So number two, we changed.
Are we number two?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Who did we beat? Okay, so you can see very, very high rates. The average BMI was 32.5. That was the average BMI. Yes. That's definitely in the obese range. That was the average. Okay. Blood pressure, the vast majority, as you can see, have a family history of high blood pressure, and almost 12% reported never having had their blood pressure checked. So this is a valuable service to the community. And then again, you can see the average systolic and You can see the average rates, and again, these are considered elevated. And then here's just another to show you again, very small percentage in the normal range. All right, diabetes, very high rates, pre-diabetic and diabetic. All right, and this last one talks about. Of those screened, almost 36% were referred to a healthcare provider. All right, so what are some of the major findings and outcomes? Well, a very large number of Delta residents have been screened who would not otherwise have had access to this type of screening. And, as I mentioned, about a third, over a third, led to healthcare referral and linkage to services. They also had access to health education. A couple of different programs, chronic disease self-management program and diabetes self-management. This is a little information about these health education that was provided in these churches. They implemented a program called hypertension Stop It, Control It, and another one called Eating Healthy, Being Active curriculum. Not a lot. These last two cardiovascular disease health education programs were only implemented in the 2013-2014, and they did a train-the-trainer model. So about three churches implemented the Eat Healthy, Be Active, with a total of 21 participants, and two, the hypertension, Stop It, Control It, with a total of 19. So not the reach we want. We really want more reach than that. But on a positive note, a number of churches did implement environmental policies. So you can see the number of churches with smoke-free air, the number of churches that have policies or access that give people access to physical activity, and then 40 churches implemented church-related policies as far as changing what was served at church functions as a way to try to encourage healthy eating. So let me just kind of give you, one. Because of our walking group here at the church, one of our walkers started out with a cane, but now he is able to walk a mile without a cane. His wife is not only walking her miles, but she is now hitting the weight room for upper body strengthening. On their last doctor visit, they were told to keep doing whatever they were doing because all of their numbers were looking better and they had lost some weight. Okay, so what did we learn? Well, what seems to work is the partnerships with churches and other community-based organizations. That's real important. Also, when churches partner, so sometimes you might have one church that has a nurse, but another church doesn't, and they'll come together and jointly have a health screening event. So where there was, opportunities to work with other community-based organizations, that seemed to work much better. As I said, there was increase cardiovascular risk and prevention knowledge. We also had an increase in the number of people who knew that they had hypertension or were at risk. And then more than half of the churches have implemented at least one health promotion policy. And I mentioned the train-the-trainer model where there is the chronic disease self-management curriculum that's being provided. Okay. This last one, since 2013, there have been 12 classes taught to a total of 96 participants. What could be improved? Well, the churches could use some more help, more assistance with the health screening events. These are quite complicated events, and you need a lot of volunteers. Not only do you need people who are trained to do the health screening, but you need people to man the different desks because, people come in, you collect. There's a survey, a short survey, and then there's the different stations where they're weighed and the different health screenings. So it requires quite a bit of coordination and lots of volunteers, and so churches could use more help. The health department, we all need to do a better job of increasing the number of churches that participate. Over the course of the 5 years, like I said, there was about 65 churches involved in some way or the other. But let me finish. There's 12,000 congregations in the Mississippi Delta. So 65 is just a small drop. So we need to reach more churches, and we need to encourage more churches to establish health ministries and get more congregants involved in these health ministries. And I think another thing that's very important is the health department really needs to reach out to ministers. In Mississippi, there's a ministerial alliance, and we need to do more work to educate more ministers to get them involved. All right. And these are the people that you need to talk to. They're the program folks. Okay? Thank you.